certainly appreciate the things that have been preached this afternoon. Fantastic, right?
Yes, sir.
Fantastic. If I wanted to prove that he was a priest and that he had a sacrifice that he made, I got to first prove he's a priest. And he had a sacrifice to make that was perfect.
Amen.
Right on down through the teaching of the book of Hebrews, right? Yep. He goes right in and then tells them he had perfected forever. Yep. By one offering. Them that are sanctified.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, you know, now you begin to see he's building. That's which is the way Paul teaches. I mean, it's brilliant.
Amen.
Brilliant.
Yes, sir.
I hope you'll pray for me this afternoon that the Lord will bless us as he has, I think, thus far today. I've greatly enjoyed being here and the things that I've heard. And man, I need it, right?
Yeah.
I need it. So again, I hope you'll pray for me this afternoon while we stand before you. I'd like to share something with y'all, and maybe this might get your attention this afternoon, because I know how afternoons are. We've got a problem at our church at home. You say, Brother Charles, you didn't come here to tell us about your problem. Well, maybe I did. We have this lunchroom that was built in the 80s. And the lunch, like all our buildings, it's built on a slab. And I remember going there as a kid. I hadn't always lived there in the Jasper, Alabama area, but I remember going there when I was a kid, and there was a big bank off the back side of the church. They actually had back in those days, they had a little lunch table outside on a, you know, in a little pavilion covered. It was off down the hill behind the church. You had to walk down 7 steps to get down to it. So fast forward, you know, however many years, I actually end up living there in that area. Finally, you know, at some point in time, called to be the pastor there. And now there's a lunchroom on the back of the building. There's no, you know, there's still a hill back there, but part of that hill has been filled in. And they built on top of that. Well, here a few years ago, some folks noticed there was some cracking in the mortar on the brick in the lunchroom. You know, it's 30-something years old, you know, plus whatever, you know, at that time. And we're like, got somebody that, you know, that was civil engineer, looked at it, and he said, I don't think it's a real problem. So it wasn't me, by the way. Wrong field. you know, fast forward another 5 years or so, and the crack's a little wider. And, you know, I'm standing in the lunchroom, and I've got real sensitive feet. No, I'm kidding. But I could stand in a place in the lunchroom, and I was like, I bet if you laid a tennis ball in here, it'd roll to that corner back there. I think I was right. So we had some folks come check, and sure enough, settling had occurred over the years. And probably the folks that built that didn't compact the soil just right and get it so that you could pour the slab. In fact, there might even be a few tree stumps under there. Who knows? You know, I wasn't around when they did all that. But the point that I was trying to get to is, and so we had to come in. We had some folks come in. They put in spiral jacks, you know, and put it up under the building, lifted it up. Came back in there, drilled a bunch of holes in the floor so they could shoot grout down in there and get us actually like you're on pilings now underneath that slab, getting it all back stable again. And the problem was they didn't have a good foundation. That's what happens if you don't eventually, at some point in time, and people think today they can build their life on anything and it'll all be okay, and time passes by and everything seems to be okay, and 30 years later they notice there's a crack in the foundation.
Right.
And then they see the building begin to kind of lean over. And if you don't do something to fix it and get the foundation stabilized on good ground, it'll fall in, and it'll be, and great will be the destruction thereof. Great will be the fall of it, right? The Bible makes that clear to us.
Amen.
The Bible says that there's no other foundation that can be laid than that which is laid,
Amen.
Which is Jesus Christ,
Amen.
Our Lord.
Amen.
Right.
And the Bible describes Him repeatedly as the chief cornerstone.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll get to that maybe later. It's also, we'll go. In the second chapter of 1 Peter, he says he's the stone which the builders rejected by their disobedience. You can reject something and maybe not even know you're rejecting it.
Right. Yeah.
Because you're not built on it. You're not built on the right. And we've got too many people in this country, but I'm not here to address the country. I'm here to address this gathering together today at Hollow Rock.
Right.
And maybe the church at home. Because we have to be built on the right foundation.
Amen.
And we've got to know. Anybody that's ever built anything, you know, you lay the corners out first and you square the building up off the corners. And you better start at a cornerstone starting spot if you're going to lay it out. And the starting spot for us in our lives is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Everything else is a waste. And the Bible tells us, and I want to approach this, if we can, to look at several different parts of this, okay? Because if we turn over, and I'll do that real quickly, if we turn over to the book of 1 Timothy, the Bible tells us there, maybe 2 Timothy, but I'll figure that out here in just a second. He tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, he says, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God stand sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His."
Right. Right.
There's a foundation that's sure.
Amen. Right. That's
it. There's a foundation, but I want us to see God's foundation is sure.
Amen. Yes.
Okay? And we turn back over. Let's do this. Y'all bear with me looking at a few verses. We'll turn over to Isaiah. Chapter 28, I believe it is. And we'll turn over there if I can get these old fumbly fingers to work here this afternoon. In the 28th chapter, I believe it is, of the book of Isaiah, we'll find there in verse 16, he says, "Therefore," and I don't have time to give you what the therefore. Y'all go read this. Verse 16, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation." Who laid it?
God
laid it. God laid the foundation. "Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." God laid the foundation. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure.
Amen.
The Lord knoweth them that are His." But Paul, when we turn over into the 1 Corinthian letter, they had a problem in Corinth. They began to try to build off some other foundations.
Yep.
And they were building on, some were of Paul, and some were of Apollos, and some of Cephas, and there were some of Christ. Thank the Lord. There were some, right? There were some there that were saying that they were of Christ, but they were building on the wrong foundation. They were looking at the wrong thing. They were looking at Paul. They were looking at Apollos. Apollos was a really good speaker. And some were looking at Paul. Paul didn't really speak that good, but his words were mighty. And Cephas, he was emotional. He knew how to get the crowd fired up. And all those kind of things.
Right.
So they were having a problem. He says, "For we are laborers." As Paul addresses this, and he's addressing many problems here at the Church of Corinth. This is not the only problem Corinth had. But Paul knew if he didn't get them back on the foundation, all the rest of it was a waste of time.
That's right.
Right? That's true in our churches today.
Amen.
We've got to start at the foundation, at the cornerstone, and build from there. And so as he's talking to them, he says, "For we are laborers together." Who? Paul and Cephas and Apollos and the other brethren that may have been there. He says, "We're all laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building."
Right. Yeah.
"Ye are God's building." And he says, "According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I've laid the foundation."
Right.
What foundation? He started with Jesus Christ.
That's right.
He didn't start with Paul.
Right.
He started with Jesus Christ and began to build up from there. And he says, "I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed."
There it is.
I preached on that a bunch of times. Y'all want to have fun sometime? Get you a little thing. Go out and look at what all God tells us to take heed to. Take heed how you build thereon.
Right.
You know, you can build a crooked wall on a good foundation.
Yes, you can.
Y'all watch it. I get a real, my big kick these days, I like to say, build it off the grid. You know, some of these shows, they go come in, they remodel a house, knock the walls out. You can see some really messed up houses, right? And but you can take a good foundation and do a bad job of building it.
That's right.
And so Paul says, take heed how you build.
Right. Amen.
It's important what you do with what you got. The foundation is good. God laid that.
Amen.
God laid the cornerstone down. Now you take heed how you build thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, that foundation is sure.
Yes.
The foundation's good. The cornerstone is good.
Amen.
Take heed how you build thereon. Well, if I don't know, if I don't have some idea, and there's no way, this is like forever, right? But if I don't know what the teachings of Jesus Christ were, how am I going to build on the foundation?
Right.
How are we as God's people? You know, I could come here this afternoon, I could probably, you know, say something like, "Well, we've got to get back to the foundation. We've got to talk about election. And we've got to talk about predestination. And we've got to..." Those are all great subjects. What did Jesus Christ teach?
Yeah.
What did Jesus Christ teach?
Right.
I'm afraid if we examine ourselves a little bit, we're going to find out. We might be close, but we may not be doing a good job of building on the foundation.
Right.
And I just say that as a caution for all of us. I think every now and then, just like we noticed ours had gotten messed up, we ought to go out, even if you believe you've done the great, you ought to go back out and examine the foundation. You know, I got a termite guy comes in, looks at my house every year.
Yep.
I could say, "Well, he looked at it 35 years ago, probably don't need ever doing that again." But I probably need him to come back and look pretty regular and make sure I'm still good. And we need to be looking to see if we're still good.
Amen.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ had some things. I'm not going to get them all this afternoon, okay? But I want to hit some high points of some things that he talked about and let us frame ourselves up and say, are we still on the foundation? He made the point of several times. One of the things, he talks about being blessed. We could go to the Sermon on the Mount. I'm not going to preach through the Sermon on the Mount this afternoon. Would love to. That'd be lots of fun. But we could talk about the things that he mentioned in there. But I'll mention a couple of things that he did say. He says, you need to be salt and light.
Right.
What we need to do is be being... a saving effect on people, a preservative for people, a healing agent for people. Are we healing agents for people? I know salt burns when you put it in the wound, okay, but it's there to heal.
Right.
And sometimes you have to sting. And I want to be careful this afternoon because what I see people doing too much of sometimes is preaching this and forgetting there's this, okay? There's a balance out there among what Jesus Christ had to teach and what he taught. Right. But you know what he said? He says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and thy neighbor is thyself. So that's the first and the great commandment, right? So he tells us to love the Lord our God. That's where we start. We're to love our neighbor. He tells us in Matthew chapter 5, we're also to love our enemies. Mm-hmm. Ooh, wait a minute. Yeah. Whoop. I missed that one. Love your enemies. Do good to them that despitefully use you.
Right.
How much do we do that? How much do we do that? And so we turn over to another place. I could turn over to John chapter 8. I'll not take the time to turn over there this afternoon. There was a woman that was caught in the act of adultery. And the Pharisees, those good old guys, they brought her to Jesus. Now, they didn't follow the law. As they say, it takes two to tango.
Right.
And they brought the woman, didn't bring the man. I've heard people speculate. Well, you know, we don't know if she was really... Jesus never denied it.
Right.
What he said to her... Where are thine accusers? That's one thing he said after he'd made had scribbled in the ground. Where are thine accusers? They had all left. And the second thing it was, go and sin no more.
Right.
Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So we've gotten to where we're so condemning sometimes about everything that we forget that he said to love our neighbors. And love our enemies. And love the Lord our God with all of our heart and all of our... We're to be different in our community.
Amen.
We as God's people are to be different. That, you know, of all the things that Jesus could have taught them, and He taught them some wonderful things on the night of His Last Supper meal with His apostles. He's had the meal. He's washed their feet. They've sang a song and departed. They're moving out toward the Garden of Gethsemane. And you're thinking, I wonder what they're talking about. Well, he told you what they're talking about. You know what they were talking about? A new commandment I give unto you. Love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples.
Right.
Indeed.
Right.
Not because you're so strict, and because you're so rigid, and because you're so mean. It's because you love one another.
Amen.
Love of God's people is to be different from anything else that's in this world.
That's right.
And forgiving of one another, charitable to one another. All of these things, we're to be different. The foundation. That's the foundation. Take heed how you build thereon. Now, I want to add this in. You know, sometimes us preachers, we think about some of these things. You know, we spin things around in our mind, you know, and think about some of this kind of stuff. And I thought, you know, he sent his disciples out two by two. And he told them there were going to be some dangers out there. And he told them to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves.
Yes.
Now, he told them, love your enemies, love your neighbors. He did not say be stupid.
Right.
He didn't say throw all caution to the wind, just love everybody.
Amen.
He said, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Be careful when you go out there. Not everybody has good intentions for you.
Right.
So be careful as you go. Be careful how you build on this foundation that God has given us. It's so important for us to do all these things, to be forgiving, to be charitable, to be loving, to be caring, to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, be committed to being involved and be helpful in our communities and being active and being seen as loving one another. Too many times I'm afraid if people ask about the Primitive Baptist Church, they would say, yeah, they're pretty strict up there. And they split, they busted over this issue, that issue. Why? Because they couldn't forgive one another, they weren't charitable one another, they didn't love one another like they should have. Okay, I'm just shooting my own feet. Okay, so y'all don't get mad. So he tells us get back to the foundation. God's foundation, sure.
That's right.
Yeah.
The Lord knows them that are His. He's not, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. They'll hear my voice. All those things. God's not going to lose a single one. His foundation is sure. He laid a stone in Zion. He wants us to build well off of that foundation. Let's turn over, if we can, to the book of Psalms. Because I want you to think about this. It's going to get back to something that Brother David mentioned this morning, I think. It maybe tie some things together around some of that. In the 11th chapter of the book of Psalms, I'm going to read verse 3, then I'm going to back up from there. But the third verse of that 11th Psalm says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?
Right.
Now I want you to see, we're talking foundations. We know the foundation is sure, right?
Mm-hmm.
We need to take heed how we build thereon. Christ laid a foundation of loving and caring and so forth. He was also very harsh to the Pharisees.
Right.
He says, don't do. He says, here, listen to what they say, but don't do what they do.
Right.
That's the Charles Kitchen's short summary of it, okay? In other words, don't do what they do. What they say is good. What they do is wrong. So don't do what they do. And I'll do that again to throw some balance into there, okay? Because we need to be careful who all we're listening to. That's a whole other sermon about what you listen to. He says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Well, what did he say before that? In the Lord put I my trust. I want you to think about this. I haven't looked the words up to see if it's an exact match, but it'll do pretty close, I think. When you trust somebody, you have faith in them.
Yeah.
That's kind of a paraphrase of it. David says, in the Lord put I my trust. Whose foundation is he built on?
Yeah.
His trust is in God and God's Word.
Amen.
What God said.
That's right.
Not what all the men may say or what everybody else may say. His trust is in what God says. In the Lord put I my trust. How shall ye say to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain? What are you going to do that's going to scare me?
Yeah.
My trust is in God.
Right, man.
Yeah.
Our trust often is not in God.
Amen.
That's the reason we're all, the election, the coronavirus, my goodness, I can't shake hands, I can't touch anybody. My trust is in the Lord.
Amen.
I shake your hand, hug your neck.
Amen.
I'm looking for God to protect me and watch over me. At the same time, be wise as serpents, harmless as doves. Okay? Yeah. Use a little caution. We got to, got to use a little sense. In the Lord put I my trust. How say ye to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain? For lo, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string, that they may privately shoot at the upright in heart. God's people are going to get shot at.
Yes.
Amen.
You're going to be shot at. You make a stand for something that's you're standing on trusting God and God's Word. When the Word of God says that certain lifestyles are an abomination to Him, they're an abomination to Him.
That's right.
Okay? Now, does that mean I'm to go around and hating them?
No.
I'm to love them. I'm to love my enemies. I'm to show kindness toward them, but I'm not to approve of what they're doing.
Amen.
Shoot at me. Enemies, take it up. Bend your bow, take your best shot. I'm trusted in the Lord.
There you go. Amen.
If the foundations be destroyed, what's the foundation? Trusting God.
Yeah.
That is the foundation. Building on the Word of God and Jesus Christ and what He said, what He taught us to do. Now, I know if I go back to 1 Corinthians, he's going to also tell you, then you lay on top of that the foundation of the apostles.
Mm-hmm.
Build on that the foundation of the apostles and the prophets and those teachings of God's Word and build on those things. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold the eyelids and try the children of men. God's still on His throne regardless of what everybody's doing.
Amen.
God's still reigning. He's not surprised. You haven't shocked Him. Men haven't shocked Him. All the wickedness that's going on today is not surprising God. I think if we read God's Word, it tells us that's the way it's going to be before He comes back.
Right.
What we've got to do is believe it, trust it, have faith in it. And then the way you have faith in it, now then, let's go... let me finish reading this. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence his soul hateth. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares, fire, and brimstone, and horrible tempests. This shall be the portion of their cup, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness. His countenance doth behold the upright. Let's go back to 1 Peter. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies, this is chapter 2, 1 Peter chapter 2, and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also disallowed. Disallowed indeed of men. ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect and precious. He that believeth on Him shall not be confounded.
Amen.
You're not going to be surprised. You're not going to be confused.
Right.
You're not going to be confounded.
Right.
You're not going to be surprised how things are going on in this old world. If you believe on the One that's our cornerstone and believe on His Word and build on it. Today, too many people are building on it with wood, hay, and stubble.
Yes.
They're building on temporary things. They're building with things that don't last. They're too interested in the now and the moment,
yes,
and looking good,
amen,
with their friends, and so forth. They're you know, well, but that crew, you know, I want to be with the right group of folks. You know, I need to be. Don't worry about that. I told my son back several years ago. He looked at me kind of funny at the time. Me and him love to talk about things like that. He's in his 30s now, by the way, and so he'll come to me. I told him back then, you know, he was concerned about high school and the group and this group. And, you know, people made fun of him and this and that and the other. I said, let me tell you how it is. And, I, you know, maybe he was in the 10th, 11th grade at the time. I don't remember. I said, about another 2 or 3 years, I said, that group that you're so worried about, I said, you will see very few of them again for the rest of your life.
Amen. Right. Yep.
What?
Yep.
I said, I know you don't believe me now. I said, this is a part of this seems to be such an important part of your life right now to try to fit here, fit there, do this, do that. And I said, I got news for you. When you graduate, you all go your separate ways, and most of you will never see each other,
right,
except an occasional reunion now and then. And you'll all look, and you'll look at them at that point in time and say, what happened to them?
Yeah.
Build on the right foundation. Amen. Young or old, build your life on something that lasts.
Amen.
The priesthood that's everlasting. The cornerstone that never gets worn out. The corner that's always square, that's always right, always looks good before God. Because who are we to really be trying to impress anyway? Better to be praised of God than praised of man.
Amen.
Build your build on His foundation's good. My eternal security, good.
Yeah.
Because the Lord knows them that are His. He's not lost a single one, not going to lose a single one of those that He gave to the Son to die for. I need to be taking heed how I build on what He laid.
Right.
He laid a great stone. Let me build off it. May God bless you, sir, friend.
Amen.